after the hour. Good morning. Welcome. Tuesday on the morning show with Preston Scott, June the 14th, show 4721, day 511 of America Held Hostage. That is Grant Allen over there in Studio 1A. I am here in Studio 1B. And buckle up, buttercup. Here we go. Our verse of the day. We're going to go to James 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. You know, you could just stop right there. Dissect that line. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. I'm going to pause there. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. As long as you don't quit. Right? Isn't that how we develop perseverance? Is by not quitting. So let me ask you. As you survey the world today, you're up, you're awake. Some of you are finishing up a long night of work. Some of you are beginning your day. Everybody kind of in a different place. As you look at the world that you live in today, and that's big, the world, everything that's going on, and the world, as in your world, where you live, where you operate and work and have your being. Some challenging times. Anytime you lift a wallet, pull out your debit card, spend some cash, you're being challenged. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Now, I've spent more than a minute talking about joy and happiness. This isn't God's word saying, celebrate, be happy about the trials and difficulties of your life or your friend's life or your family or the world. No, that's not what this is. Joy, when you read it and study it, is about an abiding belief that it's going to be okay. Things will work out. But there's a precursor here. When your faith is being tested by the trials that life offers us, considering those trials joy because of that, what that does in us, it's a training, if you will. It's a resistance. Anyone who ever works out, you know what I'm talking about with resistance. Resistance is part of all training. Whether it's weights, whether it's bands, whether it's straps, whether it's a Nautilus machine or free weights, resistance is how we build strength. It's gravity. When you run, gravity, resistance. I mean, friction, resistance. It's all through that idea of resistance. And our spirit is the same. We need these trials to build us and strengthen us. So embrace them and don't lose faith. That faith that will see you through is going to be developing perseverance in you to see you through. So there you go. I think we're going to stay here for a couple days. It's good stuff. It's a great building of dominoes falling. And I mean, it's great stuff what happens here in James. And chapter 1. So we'll get to that through the rest of the week. Busy show today. Justin Haskins, hour 3. Lots between then and now here on the morning show with Preston Scott.
decades of doing morning drive radio differently, doing it his way. Like all Blue Eyes, except he's not one of the great decomposers. You know, he's not 6 feet under. The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
The American Patriots Almanac. That's what we turn to every day. Little history segment. On this date, June 14th, 1954, President Eisenhower signs a bill adding "Under God" to the Pledge of Allegiance. Oh, yeah. One nation, under God. Come on. 1951, UNIVAC 1, the first electronic computer for commercial use, is dedicated at the Census Bureau in Philadelphia. 1922, Warren G. Harding dedicating the Francis Scott Key Memorial at Fort McHenry, Baltimore, becomes the first president to be heard on the radio. Warren G. Harding, the first radio president. Who knew? 1900, Hawaii becomes a U.S. territory. By the way, can I just pause for a moment? Andrew Jackson was not a very nice person. You ever study anything about that guy?
Sure. Just the regular stuff in school. No, I've not read his bio, but...
Oof. Not a nice man at all. Kind of ruthless, kind of greedy. Wait a minute. He was a Democrat. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. I just got lost there. Group of settlers in Sonoma proclaimed the California Republic in 1846. 1777, Congress adopts the Stars and Stripes as the national flag. Huh? There we go. 1777. Did I say 76? 77. Congress adopts the Stars and Stripes national flag. Today's Flag Day. Also on this date, in 1775, 2 years earlier, Congress authorized the formation of the Continental Army. So it was authorized, made official on this day, the birth date of the United States Army. It's just interesting, Flag Day. I don't know if you're seeing what's happening in Washington, D.C. The mayor is livid, protesting, so they're flying flags with 51 stars. They think Washington, D.C. ought to be a state. No, nope, nope, nope.
That literally defeats the entire point of why the district was created to begin with. It was a neutral location.
Exactly right. Come on. Preach it.
No state would have all the political power.
Yeah, no. No, 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 no.
But what do these people care about our founding?
This is what happens when bureaucrats feel entitled. If you want those types of rights in your world, then don't live in Washington, D.C. Live elsewhere. D.C. was never meant to be a state with statehood, ever. There's a reason why the answer is no and why it should be fought for obvious reasons. Grant's enumerating them. Anyway, all right, when we come back, schools. Found out the Leon County School Board meeting was canceled tonight, and I'll get to that as well. But there were a couple of reassignments of principals locally, and for those of you locally in Leon County that are here, you might want to dial in on that. So that's coming up next here on the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
The UFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Dude, yes!
An iHeart's radio station.
Well, my plans Bills have been scuttled for at least a couple of weeks. I hope I didn't contribute to them canceling the school board meeting tonight. Allegedly, they don't have a quorum. Now, my question is, unless you're hospitalized, how is that possible? You meet twice a month. You have an obligation to meet twice a month. How do you not have a quorum? I don't get it. And again, now if you've got a bunch of board members that are under the weather, I understand that. That happens. I'll give you a hall pass. I'll send a note to your teacher that you are homesick. But short of that, is there a reason why they shouldn't be able to meet twice a month? They're elected, they're paid, for now, to do that.
Did they say what the reasoning was, or they just said they don't have a quorum?
Don't have a quorum.
Quorum.
Canceled. And thankfully, a listener let me know that.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Or I'm
you would have shown
enough,
up.
I'd have just shown up, and I'd have been right. I'd have been there for the dance, and no band would have been there. I'd have been looking the fool. So thank you for that, because that saves me dramatic. I mean, that's a big save, because that's a drive. It's a drive down there for me, and it's a drive back, and it's at my bedtime, and so that's a big deal. So thank you.
You'd ended up being, you know, George McFly standing in the corner waiting for, you know, your date to arrive.
Then man drives Biff.
And then it's Biff.
Anyway. All right, so let's get to some action here. They have reassigned. Boy, and Steve Stewart called it. They do a shuffling of the deck from time to time of principals. And I understand why they do it. But he said, you watch. The principal at Montford Middle School, Lewis Blessing, is going to get a district job. And lo and behold, he was right. Mr. Lewis Blessing will no longer be the principal at Montford Middle School. He will be the new director of curriculum services for the Leon County School District.
I always assumed that when an area principal got a district job, that was like their way of saying you're in principal timeout, but in actuality, it's a pay raise, right? It's a bump.
Usually.
It's actually a promotion.
Usually. There are exceptions. But generally, it's where you serve your time out. It's just, so we're going to take someone that's a bad principal and we're going to put them in charge of curriculum. There you go. The Nebraska Association of School Boards has severed its ties with the National School Board Association.
Who's left? I feel like all of them have severed ties.
25 states now have officially broken ties. 30 have distanced themselves. Florida's in that list. But 25 states, Nebraska being the 25th, withdrawn their membership. And this, of course, because the National School Board Association allegedly requested. They requested because they were asked to request. Biden administration said, hey, send us a note asking for a little help at school board meetings.
And it wasn't just the Biden administration. It was the White House itself.
Well, but I mean, that's... Yeah, but I mean...
Not just the Department of Ed, because that's what we thought for a while. It was just... I forget the Ed secretary's name all of a sudden. But we thought it was the Ed secretary... Education of Secretary who solicited the memo, but it turned out it was the White House was also directly involved.
Well, yeah. That's, yeah. That's what I said. White House administration. The administration of the White House. I mean, anyway. National School Board Association made the call for the deployment of the Army National Guard. I just want to juxtapose something here for one quick second here. So they want the National Guard to be deployed to school board meetings But when the President of the United States asked for the National Guard on January 6th to be standing by and ready in the nation's capital, Nancy Pelosi says no. Isn't that interesting?
And they also don't want to have more armed personnel in schools either.
I mean, obviously it's a fraud.
Of course.
School boards were not under any threat of violence or anything like that. It's what happens when parents say enough. I just think it's interesting that they were willing to send the National Guard to school board meetings, but when the President of the United States, still president at the time, Donald Trump, asked for the National Guard to be deployed to Washington, D.C., he's refused. Isn't that interesting? 27 minutes after the hour, the news is now.
Is the MAD Radio Network, where we challenge you to make a difference in your world. With The Morning Show, Preston Scott.
There are so many things that we could choose to talk about in the big story in the press box, but this one's a no-brainer to me. Good morning and welcome, everybody. It's Tuesday on the show. I'm Preston. That is Grant. I'm just going to tell you, I'm by no means a wealthy man in ways that are measured through dollars. But my little 401k, back a few months ago, I moved every single dollar of it into a money market. Because there was no way the economy was going to survive Joe Biden's 4 years. It just wasn't going to happen. And I decided I'll take my 1.5% or whatever, 1%, and I'm not losing principal. I'm not going to do that. And I have notoriously taken a very hands-off approach to my money that I have invested, and have just kind of let the market do its things, you know, it ebbs and flows. But I was just not going to run the risk of losing a bunch of principal. And the market it cratered almost 900 points yesterday. It's officially a bear market. We talked about it a few weeks ago with Howard Eisenman, that from a technical perspective, it has been in a bear market, although now apparently everyone seems to be waking up to that reality. We do have money talk later in the program today. But sell-off yesterday, Dow Jones Industrial Average down over 1,000 points before settling at 874. NASDAQ fell 4.5%, almost 5%, 4.7%. S&P down 22% since January. You go a little deeper, look at the price of gas. That's a no-brainer. But the price of oil, Friday was $120.67 per barrel. The high price in 2021 was $84.65. So, just listen to me. Before Putin did anything in Ukraine, we were at $84.65 in 2021, all right? You know what the average price per barrel was in 2020, the last year of the Trump presidency, after we had enacted policies? When Trump took office, price of a barrel of oil was $54.25 per barrel. 1 year later, $71.34. The manufacturing, the oil, the unrolling of regulation, all of these things start coming loose. Price of oil's down to 64.3. And then in 2020, $41.96. It has tripled since then. It had doubled in the first year of the Biden presidency, before Vladimir Putin ever took office, which is why I'm going to remind you that every analyst out there was telling you that we were going in the high $4 a gallon gas bracket before there was ever a whisper of Vladimir Putin taking on Ukraine. Because the Biden policies were leading us in that direction. Now, Florida Senator Rick Scott is saying Joe Biden has destroyed America's economy. True. It's time to be honest with the American people. Joe Biden is unfit for office and should resign. That's the question I'm going to ask you next hour. Should Joe Biden resign from office? I think there's a nuanced answer here. I don't think it's that complicated. I don't think it's that insightful. But I don't think Rick Scott's right. But I don't know. What do you think? We're going to take your calls next hour on Joe Biden.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
I'm your Huckleberry.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
The economy is just getting worse. Wage growth being eliminated by inflation. Part of that, part of the inflation problem is wage growth. See, that's why you're not seeing much analysis of this. This is a Biden creation. I mean, with the exception of a few of you still walking around with masks for your own personal reasons, things are functioning normally. What's changed is the regulatory environment and the price of fuel. And we have told you that petroleum prices impact everything. This is a Biden-created crisis, self-inflicted wounds. Very little of what's going on in our national economy has anything to do with Ukraine and Vladimir Putin. It has to do with Biden. The poor decisions that he and Democrats as a rule make with an economy. And I just have to pause here, hit the pause button for a second and note, I always get pushback when I say that. Well, what about the last time we had a balanced budget and we had a surplus? That was when Bill Clinton was president. And why did we have that? Because Republicans put a contract for America in place in the middle of Clinton's run for terms as president. He had no choice. Republicans ran the House and the Senate. He had to work with Republicans. And we had a few with some backbone. We have a few with some backbone now. But I promise you, there are people awakening right now going, my God, things were so much better under Trump. Yeah, I don't like the guy, but things were better. Now you got Biden, who you don't like, you don't trust. He's wandering around wearing his Depends, and you don't even know what he's saying half the time. And his policies are a disaster. We're weakened as a nation. We're going to get to that here in a minute. The policies of the left destroy business. Evidence. The largest pork packer in the country is leaving California. Smithfields, which, by the way, is owned by a Hong Kong company.
I was going to say, I thought they were influenced by the Chinese anyway.
They are. But they're not.
Even the Chinese recognize how horrible California is.
California is so bad, even the Chi-Coms don't want to do business there. Because while they can, they want to make a profit. Heck yeah.
They've introduced just enough capitalism to make a buck.
So they're leaving California. Jim Monroe, Vice President for Corporate Affairs of Smithfield. Two main factors drove the company's decision, costs and overregulation. Quoting, the cost of doing business in California is significantly higher than the other states where we operate. Utilities, for example, are 3.5 times higher per head than our other locations where we do work. Taxes and other costs are higher. And then doing business in California is difficult because of the red tape. He's like, yeah, we're moving. More and more businesses are going to leave. But you can't leave America. Or can you? See, that was the beauty of what Trump did. Trump actually created an environment where I still think the taxes were too high, but the taxes were so significantly lower than what they used to be. Businesses brought money back because, well, if I don't have to do business across the pond and all of the costs incurred with that, and I can do it all domestically, why not? So money was, as they say, repatriated. Biden's changed all that.
It's making sense of it all. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Let's tie a couple things together. First of all, you may have seen the story. A Marine Osprey crashed June 8th, California. Five Marines killed in a training exercise. One of them the son of L.A. Dodger great Steve Sachs. And it's a tragedy. I mean, it's a tragedy. His son, John Sachs, 33, looked just like him. Looked just like his dad. Died in the wreck. So the Navy announces an aviation safety pause to review risk management and training. Now, let me say on the front end, in fairness, the Osprey has been a challenge, period. It's an amazing aircraft. The Osprey is the one that has the engines that rotate up and allow the plane to take off like a helicopter, then rotate down, and off it goes. It's an amazing, amazing aircraft. However, that said, it has been plagued with issues since its inception. I think there's the total number that have died in Osprey crashes over the years is pretty significant. But here's the part of the story that just stood out to me in light of something else that I have here. In order to maintain the readiness of our force, we must ensure the safety of our people remains one of our top priorities, of course. But training, that word just stood out to me. Training. And then comes this story that just confirms what we know. We're not training. We're right now busy indoctrinating members of the military. This is a story here from Survival Magazine. And the problem of what's going on in the military service with woke training. And if you do some math, the number of hours spent on wokeness is over 5.8 million man hours in training dealing specifically with societal wokeness. Nothing to do with creating a military fighting force on the land, air, or sea. That was as of February 5th. I mean, and that's a statement from Milley, Mark Milley, the Joint Chief, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. So he's the Joint Chief of the Joint Chiefs. And it's incredible. Commander of the Air Force Training Center, I don't believe we're here to break people down. I'm not going to tolerate that. When I get up to speak to them, I'll say I don't care if you come here with deeply held beliefs, But if you tell me you can't work with someone because they're different gender or different race or because they're transgender, if you say that, I say get on the bus and go back home. That's the head of Air Force training. Respective to the person that called in last week complaining about my view of the military, called Grant a couple times. He said, I served with gay people, so did a lot of people, but guess what? Those were the days of don't ask, don't tell. That was a workable policy because there's no doubt that people who have been gay can serve in the military. But when you start going in the direction that you're going, it is why recruiting is down. It is why training is a problem. It is because they're spending all of this time working on things, indoctrinating young men and women who are willing to serve with this mindless nonsense of social engineering. And we are weakened and compromised as a nation. If you're Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, you are sitting back, not just laughing, but planning. You look at these kinds of accidents and you see the military leadership saying, we got to work on training. And you look at what they're training on. I'm going to talk about this with Michael Waltz later this week. Second hour of the morning show with Preston Scott. Bad host. Bad host. You go sit in the corner. Sorry. I was a bad host. I didn't properly tease the upcoming segment of the program. I want to take your calls. And if you were listening in the first hour, you know what I want to talk about. 850-205-WFLA, 850-205-9352. Senator Rick Scott, who doesn't talk to me anymore. I don't know if he felt like I was not kind to him in his final 6 years in office. We went from having him here all the time to never, not at all. I don't think it's me. I think it's his handlers, but that's a story for another day. He believes that Joe Biden should resign. Now, we know he's not going to do that, but I want to know what you think. I will go ahead and put it this way. I want your analysis. You sit in my chair for just a minute here. What would your analysis be of Senator Rick Scott calling for Joe Biden's resignation? Should Biden resign or should he not? Why or why not? You be me. 850-205-WFLA is the number. 850-205-9352. Should the resident step down or should he not? And what are your reasons for supporting your thought? I can't think of a policy other than saying once or twice that the police should not be defunded, that police need more funding. I think that's the only thing that he has said since taking office that I agree with. And by the only thing he said, I mean policy-wise. I'm not talking about little glib comments here or there. Chances are those were written by somebody else anywhere, and if he managed to pull the line off, that was a miracle, so I don't count those. I'm saying policy-wise. So I want to get your analysis. Senator Scott believes... No relation, by the way. Senator Scott believes that he's unfit for office. I wouldn't disagree with that, but that he should resign. And so I'm curious what you think. It's as simple as calling in and just giving me your opinion, your analysis. I just want the yes or no and why or why not. Obviously, the economy's a train wreck. Obviously, he's made decisions that have devastated your pocketbook, devastated business, causing money to go back overseas. He's weakening us with our largest trade partners and strengthening our enemies and adversaries. And so, you know, I'm not going to belabor this, because I suspect that most of you think he ought to resign, but it's the wrong play. Should Joe Biden resign, that brings everybody else one spot up off the bench. Just think about that for a second. Kamala Harris as president. So this is your time to weigh in on this. I didn't take the previous segment. I got carried away talking about some troubling signs in our military, and I didn't tease the segment very well. So this is our tease. 850-205-9352. 850-205-WFLA. Elizabeth standing by. Other callers are lining up. What about you? Simple question. Should he resign or not?
This is the MAD Radio Network, where we challenge you to make a difference in your world. MAD, you get it? You know, try to make a positive influence upon others, you know? You know, be a good person. With the Morning Show, Preston Scott.
We are in a bear market. Gas prices, historic. Any wage increases, offset because of inflation. Yeah. And then there's our weakness abroad, wokeness domestically. I mean, the list goes on and on. So should he or should he not resign? Elizabeth, what do you think?
Okay, so don't beat me up, but I don't think he should resign. I think they should impeach him. And I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
The people that are waiting in the wings are even scarier than him. And our founders originally put in their election remorse. In 2022, elections are the chance to neuter all of his policies. But the real question has always been, has this nation learned its lesson yet?
The question I have for you is, if you're talking about impeachment, we are obviously not going to see that happen until the midterms, if Republicans take control of the House and the Senate. But at that point, is it productive? Does it then just look vengeful, no matter how justified? Does it look vengeful?
It's always going to look vengeful no matter what, because it's Republicans and the Democrats. That's just what it's come down to.
Yeah. Okay. Elizabeth, thanks very much. That's what I'm looking for. Opinions. Matthew, what's your analysis of all this?
I'm going to say no. I don't want to. He needs to stay in office. He needs to finish his time out, no matter how much I dislike him, no matter how much I think all these people that voted for him are complete, just they're sheep. They have no idea what they were doing. But he needs to stay in, because just as the previous caller said, I don't want the next people in line that are even more radical than he is, because they have their minds ready and prepared for it. He's just kind of falling. He's just being towed along wherever he needs to go. Kamala, anybody else, they know what they want. They know they want to destroy this country. That's what they're going to do. If she comes into power, we're done.
Thank you, Matthew. I appreciate you calling in. I'm basing this question off of the comments of Florida U.S. Senator Rick Scott. And I think Senator Scott is right about a lot of things, but I don't think he's right about this, and I think it's a bad public relations calculation on his part. But that's just me. Kevin, what do you think? Should the president, resident, resign?
Well, I'm going to throw out this analogy, and I know you'll get this. I really, in plain English, I don't think so. In the analogy I was going to put, the fact that I don't think that we want to get rid of Colonel Klink, because we may get something a lot worse.
Get Sergeant Schultz.
Exactly.
Kevin, thanks very much. I appreciate it. Yeah, great Hogan's Hero throwback there. I know what my audience thinks about Joe Biden. I know what you think. The polling here would be 99.9%, because we still haven't even had one person take the Just One challenge. I haven't had one person, not one, call in willing to go first and last name, be themselves, be honest, own it, and say Joe Biden's done a great job. Not one. So I know what you think, but I just want your analysis on this question. George, what do you think?
I think Senator Scott is probably just like the rest of Americans. He's bleeding money left and right. And I think at the end of the day, I mean, nobody has no confidence in this man pulling his economy out of the hole it's in. So,
but what
happens if he resigned or not? I don't think it matters.
Okay, so it wouldn't matter one way or the other. So you're not thinking that it changes anything. So whether he does or doesn't, it doesn't matter to you.
It ain't gonna matter. We're losing money hand over fist. There's a lot of stuff going overseas that people don't talk about that's really hurting the economy. And I think a lot of people up there in Washington may know that Joe Biden's in worse mental condition than we even realize.
Thank you, George. I appreciate that. Jim, final caller in this segment. What about you?
He needs to stay in office. We need not to focus on Kamala Harris or Joe Biden. We need to focus on the snake. The underlying government that is running this show has just put Biden up there as a puppet master, and that's what we need to focus on. The voters need to stop being ignorant, get educated about what they're voting for, and I think the voters are not very smart, because what do we keep doing? We keep electing Democrats who talk like Republicans during election time. We need to listen and vote Republican as best we can. I'm fed up with it.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. Yeah, I think too many people voted against in the last election. Not, again, heart, not head. I agree with his basic analysis on the last election, even with the cheating that did take place. Anyway, you're welcome to call in if you want. If not, we're gonna just keep rocking here. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott. If you'd like to weigh in on this, Rick Scott thinks that Joe Biden ought to resign. What do you think? 850-205-WFLA.
WFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Hey, so here we go.
An iHeart's radio station.
Former Florida governor, now U.S. Senator Rick Scott, cited a bunch of reasons and said that Joe Biden is unfit for office and needs to resign. I'm asking you if that's a well-thought-out suggestion. And so we're taking your calls. 850-205-WFLA. John, what about you?
Hey, good morning. I think the devil you know is much better than the devil you don't. So we let him continue down this destructive path, and it affects his party as much as it does anybody else.
Boy, you know what? You're the first person that said that, John. The weight of Biden on Democrats is massive.
Massive.
Yeah, it's a great, great analysis. Thanks very much. I appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Harriet. Hello, Harriet.
How you doing?
Good. I'm good. What about you? What do you think? Should he resign or not?
No, he should not resign. Can you imagine having a cackling hen for the president going around the world making decisions? No, absolutely not. We're the laughing stock now. Imagine what it would be if she was the president.
So I take it that's a big fat no then.
Yeah, that's a big fat no.
Thank you very much, Harriet. I appreciate that. Let's go to Terrell. Terrell, how are you?
Good. Good morning.
What do you think?
I think, no, he should definitely stay in, because the more inept he continues to prove himself to be, the more people are coming over to the Republican Party, and it'll serve us better in the next election and in 2 years when we vote.
So he's the best thing that Republicans have going for them.
Absolutely. He keeps on. It's not only making the Republicans that didn't get out and vote last time thinking that there was no way he could win, it'll make them go to the polls, but it'll also drive Democrats that voted for him over to our side, because everybody's feeling the decision. decisions that he's making right now.
Thank you, Terrell. Appreciate the phone call. Quick analysis there. Yeah, it seems to be a sentiment that is growing. The dissatisfaction with Joe. But there is a calculus that needs to be done here. Final call here belongs to Bill. Hey, Bill.
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm great. What about you?
I can't complain. Yeah, I don't think we ought to take him out just because of the fact he is doing more damage for the Republicans to the Democrats than the Republicans could ever do. And you go from a man with dementia to, like the former lady said, cackling Kamala. Nah, I don't think we could deal with that.
So just leave things be and let's move along and have a new election.
Yeah, let him take out his own party.
Gotcha. Bill, thanks very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, we've had a few people mention Kamala.
You landed haymakers.
Oh, yeah.
How do you go from being such a passionate opponent?
It was a debate.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time. Right? The significance of the passage of time.
You're considered the most liberal United States senator.
Somebody said that in it. Actually, it was Mike Pence on the debate stage.
And there is such great significance to the passage of time.
We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I mean, let's really take a moment to understand the significance of what we're talking about.
Ukraine is a country in Europe. Russia is a bigger country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. Basically, that's wrong.
Is there something wrong with her? She kept laughing. The media said, whoa!
27 minutes after the hour. Kamala's Laugh, the remix on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Wherever you may be, from Florida's Sunshine State to Washington State. Not Washington, sorry. Washington's also hopeless. For crying out loud, is this the only bastion of physical wealth and mindset goodness? Yeah. And this is The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second half of the radio program. We're an hour and a half in, hour and a half to go. Justin Haskins next hour, ESG. Huh? We're going to tell you about ESG. We're going to explain to you the fundamentals of it and why it needs to matter to you. We're going to make the case the best we can. I am going to ask him about the whole January 6th fiasco. I've warned him in advance. I am going to ask you for some comments on the nonsense. Did you see Benny Thompson, the chair of the committee, what he said? We finally have some disagreement. Remember, we talked about the fact that they picked two Republicans to join the panel that hate Trump and want to turn this into, this was an insurrection saga. So they've all been agreeing on everything. Until now. Benny Thompson apparently has said, we're not referring anything to the Department of Justice. We're not referring Trump. We're not referring anybody. And she's livid. Liz Cheney is livid. The Republican in the group is livid. She wants this committee to demand action by the Department of Justice. I hope she's got a countdown calendar. Days left in office. If she's reelected, here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. If she's reelected, I am driving to Wyoming.
This just
I'm going to cross the border, and I'm going to go, I spit on you. I spit on you, Wyoming. I'm leaving now. And then I'm going to get in my car and leave. That's it.
That's a very dramatic. That's going to turn into like, follow us on social media. We'll be along the way.
I mean, there's no way they can reelect this woman. There's no way they can reelect her. She's a traitor. Anyway, to show you, the big story in the press box, we're in a bear market. We've been in one, but I guess everyone's waking up to the fact that the stock market has lost a ton of value since the start of the year. Down 20%. Oil prices keep going up higher and higher and higher. And I'm going to remind you, the Biden administration, Democrats are doing nothing to stop any of this. They're not reversing course. They can't. To reverse course is to say we bear responsibility. We were wrong. These policies don't work. They can't do that. But this is now, here's the good news. And it sort of is, this echoes what we just heard for the last half hour from callers. This is what happens when Democrats run an economy. When you have a Democrat as commander in chief, I'm sorry, this is what happens. We're weaker as a nation militarily, we are weaker as a nation fiscally and economically. But younger people are waking up. Jake Paul. Jake Paul is the brother of
Logan.
And Logan was the first big thing, right? Wasn't he?
I can't remember the order. All I know is Logan Paul is now the big podcaster guy. You can find him all over YouTube. And his brother's gotten into fighting.
I don't know which
the
one
fighting
came
sports,
first.
But, not
but,
like,
but yeah. YouTube influencers, one kind of hung on the coattails of the other, and I don't know which. But Jake Paul is a thing, okay? And he's a credible boxer. I thought he was, whatever. And he's proving himself to be a credible fighter. That's fine. Here's what matters. He's got 20 million followers. And most of those followers, not all, are younger people. Listen to the latest tweet. Biden accomplishments, highest gas prices, worst inflation, plummeting crypto prices, highest rent prices ever, created new incomprehensible language. If you read this and voted for Biden and you still don't regret it, then you are the American problem. I'm smiling.
Difference in a positive way, improve the lives of others. That's what this show is about. And this is the Preston Scott Show.
I referenced yesterday, I'm going to be interested to see, do they continue, because I mentioned this, do they continue with the televised hearings, these panel things, or not? I talked about the train wreck that it proved to be for the networks. The networks are, look, no matter what they might think, they're still a for-profit entity. ABC, CBS, and NBC. The evening news for CBS, NBC, and ABC average between 18 and 20 million viewers combined each night. Okay? They'll shuffle around numbers a little bit, but on average, throw all three together, 18 to 20 million. Those newscasts don't air in primetime. Primetime is when viewership is at the highest. The January 6 hearing last week took in just over 11 million viewers combined in primetime. According to Newsbusters, evening newscast audiences on any given night are 1.6 times larger than the total number of broadcast viewers who tuned in to the hearing. For a little more contrast, Joe Biden's State of the Union address in March had 38 million viewers. Trump's first State of the Union address attracted 45.6. 2019 higher, 46.8. From the Free Beacon, just 3.24 million people watched the network's capital assault hearings on CBS coverage on Thursday night. According to TV ratings guide, exactly 1 week prior, 3.86 million people tuned in to watch Young Sheldon rerun.
Oh, my gosh.
An old episode of a coming-of-age sitcom garnered 600,000 more viewers than the first hearing on January 6th on primetime. The gap is even more pronounced for new Young Sheldon episodes. More than 7 million people, for example, watched the show's season 5 finale titled A Clogged Pore, A Little Spanish, and the Future. 3 weeks earlier, 6.9 million people watched a new episode, Uncle Sheldon and the Hormonal Firecracker, compared to 3.24 that watched the hearing.
I never thought we'd spend so much time talking about Young Sheldon.
Now, more people did watch CNN and MSNBC than might normally have watched, but Fox still beat out CNN, and Fox didn't show the hearing. I'm so grateful Fox didn't play into that.
Fox has got their own hot water they got to deal with.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, they're certainly, yeah.
They're stepping in their own, whatever.
Poodoo.
Yeah.
Still think that's a funny line.
It's a good way to put it.
Poodoo. Then there's this. You remember all the comments? Major League Baseball pulling the All-Star game from Atlanta after the Georgia voting law changed,
the
right?
The racist voting law, Preston.
New Jim Crow 2.0. President Biden, worse than Jim Crow. Cory Booker, senator from New Jersey, stepped toward authoritarianism and repression.
Stacey Abrams
told Joy Reid that Republicans were stealing the right to vote. Here are the numbers, kiddos. Early voter participation rose 150% with the new voting law. Early voting among black voters higher than ever. And that's just the primary. They're liars.
Listen just to hear what he's going to say next. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
ESG, environmental, social, and governance scores. What in the world does that have to do with you? Oh, you should know what it has to do with you. And when we come back after the top of the hour news, Justin Haskins will join us from the Heartland Institute. And he is the director of their project to try to inform you about the dangers of socialism and the website StoppingSocialism.com. Justin will join us for his monthly visit. And I've asked him to focus primarily on that. I will ask him about January 6th, but we will focus on that. This is so disturbing to me. I wrote in the margins of I got this from Matt Staver. Matt Staver is the founder, lead counsel of Liberty Counsel. And Matt routinely argues before the United States Supreme Court.
He's also the guy that has single-handedly added so much fear to my life because of the WHO thing last month, and now apparently this, whatever this might be.
Well, this is old news, but it's just it's taken one step further. And I use this kind of press release because it's unassailable. You can't, it just is. You know, there's certain stuff that we get here that we just have to research a little bit, dig a little deeper. Is it really legit? When we get it from Matt, I know.
It's been vetted.
It's been thoroughly vetted because this is a guy who routinely wins in U.S. District Court, in Appellate Court, and in the Supreme Court. He just wins most of the time. And so they have, their staff just gets their research right. When Grant says vetted, yeah, on steroids. So I'm just going to read this. Despite the fact the FDA had fully approved Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 two-dose injection, marketed as Comirnaty, The drug company has now updated the Centers for Disease Control, CDC, website, admitting it will never be distributed for use. As Liberty Counsel has stated from the beginning, there is no FDA-approved COVID shot available. All COVID shots are under emergency use authorization, which means people have the right to refuse them. Therefore, Pfizer has exclusively been supplying its version of the experimental shot under emergency use authorization, not the FDA-approved shot. The CDC has quietly updated its website to reflect that at no time will you ever be given the drug approved by the FDA. Does that cause any of you just a moment of reflection? I realize that some of you got the vaccine because of the best of advice that you received from your doctors, and perhaps it's worked out well for you. I absolutely know beyond any measure of doubt in my own heart that we had a lot, hundreds of thousands of people die in this country needlessly. Now, they might have died of some other condition that they had because comorbidity was absolutely huge in this. But COVID was a triggering factor, and we were not, as a country, given all of the options for treatment. We were only largely given these vaccines. And I have written down on my notes that I am going to ask Congressman Waltz about this, and I am going to ask Congresswoman Kamik about this, and if need be, if we get the chance, Congressman Jordan about this. This, to me, needs to be addressed by Congress immediately if we get a new Congress in the fall. Immediately. I'm avoiding the I told you so's, but we have been warning you all along about this. Justin Haskins joins me next. All right, let's get right to it. 5 minutes past the hour. It is the third and final hour of the morning show with Preston Scott. Grant Allen there in Studio 1A running the program. I'm here in Studio 1B. Great to be with you this morning. My guest, Justin Haskins, is a widely published writer, political commentator, editorial director, research fellow at the Heartland Institute. Every time I say that word, research fellow, I feel like I should go into a very light English accent. He is also the guy behind the Socialism Research Center at Heartland and the website StoppingSocialism.com. But his resume really took a lift when he became a regular contributor to the morning show with Preston Scott. Hello, Justin. How are you?
All facts, Preston. All facts. I don't think it was just my career that took off. I think it was my whole life that took off when I started coming on the show. So,
well, you know, when we hang out as brothers in Christ, good things happen.
That's true.
Hey, before we get to the ESG thing and a little bit of a primer for our audience, just a quick thought on January 6th. I'm just stunned, Justin. We have people languishing in jails, being held without trial for misdemeanors. I mean, where does this happen? Why is this happening?
Yeah, well, it's obvious why this is happening. This is happening because it's political theater, and Democrats desperately need this political theater, at least they think they do, to score any points at all with voters, because their track record has been absolutely abysmal over the past few years, but especially under the Joe Biden era. They know it. They know that we are facing unprecedented economic and geopolitical difficulties at this time, many of which are their own creation, that they're responsible for, that voters hold them responsible for, and they have nothing to run on. They have no record to run on. All they can do is try to point to a bunch of crazy people who rioted on January 6th and say, this is basically the whole Republican Party. This is every single conservative. This is everyone in Washington, D.C. who identifies as a Republican or a conservative. And so if you vote for them, you're voting for the most radical element of the people who rioted on January 6th. And so there's only so many villains in that, right? So they have to start going to the other people, the grandmas and the, and, you know, just the regular people who happen to get caught up in all of that, who shouldn't have been there, and it shouldn't have gone into the Capitol and shouldn't have violated any laws at all, but did. And those are not serious crimes, but they have to be used as political pawns by Democrats because they literally have nothing else. If everything was going great for Democrats right now, I don't think anyone would be languishing in prison. I mean, that's just a sort of an extreme statement, I guess, but I think it's, I think I would really struggle to believe that if things were going great for Democrats, they'd be dragging out this January 6th. I really don't think so. I think it's solely the result of the fact that they are failing miserably and they need something to talk about other than how Joe Biden has been a disaster.
Justin, I've never been a Reynolds Wrap guy, but I've joked that I've bought more Reynolds Wrap in the last few months than ever in my lifetime. I'm just not a tinfoil cap guy, but I am now, after looking at video and reading the comments of people that are sitting in jail and their confessions and their heartfelt letters after confessing on why they did it, I'm convinced that this is almost a setup. The FBI infiltrated, the Capitol Police absolutely allowed people in, escorted them in, took selfies with them. And I think that's why we have some Capitol Police members that have killed themselves in the wake of this. I believe that Pelosi intentionally said no to the National Guard. I think this whole thing was a setup, even though, yes, things happened. But I believe it was all brought to bear by Democrats.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's very strong evidence that there were forces at work to try to make things worse that were not sort of naturally occurring, that
right.
were introduced by agitators and others, potentially people who work for the government, et cetera. I think there's very good evidence that that happened and that a lot of people kind of got caught up in the moment of that. I think there's no denying it. I thought it was a horrible idea that anyone go in the first place,
sure,
purely because of what was going on in the moment. But that doesn't excuse all of the other stuff. And look, we're supposed to be a nation of laws here. And one of our laws is a guarantee that you're going to have a fair and speedy trial by your peers. And so languishing in prison because you trespassed or because, you know, you did something that you shouldn't have done, that is a misdemeanor, is totally unacceptable. And Democrats used to be the champions of that idea, that we shouldn't have people languishing in prison for misdemeanor crimes and things like that. I mean, they're the ones that are always talking about the criminal justice system and how unfair it is and all of this other stuff. Well, this is an example of it being extremely slow, extremely prejudiced, And I don't know how anyone can deny that. If there are people who engaged in serious crime during that rally, they should be held to the responsible for that,
right,
without a doubt, to the fullest extent of the law. But there were a lot of people who did almost nothing wrong or very little wrong, or like I said, trespassed or whatever, and there is no excuse constitutionally or otherwise, any law, why they should still be in prison. And again, this is only for political theater. That's really it. There's really no other reason why this is being dragged out.
Justin Haskins with me. We're going to change gears, talk about ESG and what you better know about it next.
Welcome to the MAD Radio Network, where we challenge you to make a difference in your world in a positive way, improving the lives of others. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
With me, Justin Haskins from the Heartland Institute. Ran a little heavy there. So, Justin, I wanted to, based on, I'm just getting a litany of email about ESG, explain what it is to our listeners.
Right. So ESG is one of the most important topics facing America and really the whole Western world right now. It stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance Metrics. That's what ESG is. It's essentially a social credit scoring system, similar to what many of your listeners might have heard of is going on in China, where they're literally giving people scores for being good citizens or being bad citizens and then tying rewards or punishments to those scores to try to make people be a certain way. Well, ESG is the Western version of that. It's already in place in parts of Europe and in the United States. It's not applied to individuals necessarily at present. It's mostly applied to corporations who are voluntarily going along with this because they're profiting from it. And big investment management firms and banks, all of these financial institutions, they're using ESG as a way to make sure that people, companies move to the left, and not just how they operate internally, but how the products that they sell, the services that they provide, the way that they interact with their customers, all of the kinds of employees that they hire, all of this has to fit in with this ESG model. And so companies, the vast majority of large companies in the United States, far more than 80% of them, already have ESG systems in place. Many of them have dozens of employees whose job is focused exclusively on ESG, creating these elaborate ESG reports, telling you what their scores are in these various metrics. And then there are this whole industry that has risen up around giving scores to various companies based on their products and services, and then tying certain incentives to those scores, like bond ratings, for example, which are how corporations often raise capital.
Mm-hmm.
They issue bonds. Well, the interest rate you get on a bond, the amount, the cost to the company for issuing that bond is tied to ESG scores, at least in part. So it used to be that you would measure companies based on financial and economic and business considerations. Now you do that, plus you have to comply with all of these social credit scoring issues related to ESG. And of course, the Biden administration is a big supporter of all of this. The left loves it because all of these ESG metrics favor them at present, although it doesn't necessarily have to stay that way. Anything could be changed at any time. There's no rules really governing this. But that's essentially what ESG is, the social credit scoring system. So just real quick, as a specific example of what sorts of things are in this, one very popular ESG scoring metric looks at a company's employees and gives them an ESG score based on, in part, it's one of the many metrics, the racial ratio of the employees. So if you don't have the right ratio of Asians to Hispanics, whatever that means in your company, whatever they decide that means, then you get a lower ESG score. Facebook, actually, a year or two ago, got a relatively low ESG score in one of these reports that I was reading because they didn't do enough to censor free speech. They were supposed to be doing more to censor free speech. And so they got a lower ESG score than they otherwise would because of that policy. So that's the kind of stuff. There's also a bunch of good things tied up in that too, like don't do business with companies that have child labor in some foreign country. But there's a lot of bad stuff mixed into it.
All right, Justin, stand by. We're going to tell you what it means to you now, how this impacts your life, next with Justin Haskins on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
UFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
This is crazy!
And iHeart's radio station.
Based on our conversations on the phone in between segments, we could go on this stuff for literally hours, if not days. Justin Haskins with me. Justin, before we talk about just rank and file listeners, consumers out there, how do businesses profit from this? Are we talking about the businesses that are in the business of working with the Al Gorbalites out there?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways that businesses are making money off of this ESG thing. But the biggest concern for most is that because large banks and financial institutions and investment management companies like BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street are all behind this 100%, you sort of have to do it if you're a corporation, if you want access to banking services, you want access to capital, you want to make sure you have a good bond rating so that when you issue a bond, you're not paying a much higher interest rate. There's very strong financial incentives in place for corporations and even some medium and small businesses. This is starting to happen for them to comply with ESG scores. There's no reason for them not to do it. And companies like BlackRock, which own more stock than basically anybody, they can essentially fire people on boards of directors who refuse to go along with this, not necessarily on their own. They have to work together with a group of people, but there's a lot of like-minded people on Wall Street that want this ESG system in place, and they are actively threatening CEOs. We've had examples of this. It happened at ExxonMobil this past year, where they say, you have to do X, Y, and Z, even though it's not in the best interest of the business. We don't care. You have to do it in line with these ESG metrics, and if you don't, we're going to get rid of you. And they have, in certain cases, gotten rid of people at the tops of these companies because they won't go along with it. So companies sort of have to do it, but a lot of them want to anyway because, you know, they get to feed their egos and have a savior complex and think that they're saving the world and transforming society, all while making lots of money on the side.
And the Security and Exchange Commission, as we talked about in the break, is fining companies not playing by the rules.
So the SEC is starting to roll out regulations that are going to require businesses to at least do the E in the ESG part of this, or at least some parts of the E, where you're going to, every company is going to have to issue a report saying, here's what we're doing to combat climate change. And here's what our ESG metrics are related to climate change. And the SEC has also created an office specifically for ESG issues to make sure that companies are producing ESG reports where they're actually, you know, doing the things that they claim that they're doing. So are you woke enough? Instead of investors making that decision, instead of consumers deciding whether businesses are doing enough on ESG issues, whether they have the right ratio of, you know, Asian to Hispanic workers or something like that, you're going to have the SEC making sure that these ESG reports are, quote unquote, accurate. But really, it's just another way to twist companies' arms to make sure that they're going all in on this ESG stuff.
All right. In a minute, what are the quick ways, the short ways this impacts everybody listening to the show?
The reason ESG is maybe the most important issue facing the country right now is because every part of the economy, every part of your life is already starting to be impacted by this. Because the whole purpose of ESG is to transform the entire financial sector, the entire housing industry, the entire car industry, every industry you can think of, basically. If it's a large company that you're buying from or operating with in any way, they are already doing ESG metrics. And the whole point of it is to get them to transform so that they can transform society. And that's exactly what they're doing. So if you want to know why big businesses are being woke, and you want to know why you see social media companies silencing people, and you want to know why banks and financial institutions are saying that they're going to phase out all fossil fuels from their entire portfolios. They're not even going to give you a car loan at some point in the future if you're driving a gasoline-powered car. It's all related to this ESG topic. The whole world is being transformed in the West by this ESG system, and people, most regular people, don't even realize that it's happening. But that it will change your life. It already is starting to change your life.
Can't thank you enough, Justin. Thanks for the time, and we'll talk again next month.
All right. Take care, brother.
Thank you, sir. Justin Haskins with us. If you want to read more, go to the website of the Heartland Institute, heartland.org/ESG/ESG.
Mayor of Realville. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Well, suddenly, maybe it's not suddenly, maybe that might be a little over the top. People are awakening to how bad it is. Now, some of us warned of the inevitability of economic collapse under Joe Biden. Some of us warned what Democrats do. And I've been warning people about this since Barack Obama ran for office. Think about that for just a second. I started this show in March of 2002, 1 year after George W. Bush took office. He took office in 2001.
Just 6 months after 9/11.
Is when this show started.
Is when this show started. Wow.
And so I've been at the helm here warning about the differences. And it's not to say that Republicans are perfect. But as a general governing philosophy, economically, Republicans are right. And Democrats are wrong. The only time Democrats are not wrong is when they happen to agree with Republicans on economic principle. Businesses run by illiberals run by conservative economic principles. Because if you don't, you cannot stay in business. Thankfully, whether it's the bear market we are now in, more in a few minutes, Money Talk with Howard Eisenman, got a lot of different things to talk about with Howard. We'll always reflect the numbers, what's going on, just giving you facts. We don't engage in opinion in the segments with Howard. He doesn't. He can't do that. He's forbidden to do that by compliance law. That's just the way it is. So we just give you facts in those segments. I offer opinion. My opinions, though, are buttressed by facts. And for example, whether it's the Dow Jones Industrial Average, whether the fact that we're in a bear market, whether it's the ridiculous prices of a barrel of oil and what's happened under Joe Biden, and that things were spiraling in the wrong direction well before Vladimir Putin even thought about doing anything in Ukraine. It doesn't matter what metrics you use economically. ESG, that's just another factor in all of this mess. The ridiculous push on wages and the mandated minimum wage increases that even states like Florida have adopted. Sadly, you will rue the day you voted for that. You already are. Because some of this problem that we're dealing with the economy is rooted in, and I told you this, and I'm not an economist. I'm just a guy who looks at things through the lens of common sense. And common sense says to you, if you impact the cost, a baseline cost of doing business, prices will suffer. So our prices are suffering from bad economic policy, whether it's oil prices, which then become gas prices, or whether it's regulatory issues or wages. It's all adding up to an inflation nightmare. And all of this is at the feet of Joe Biden and Democrats. But thankfully, people are waking up. Even an influencer out there in the social media world like boxer Jake Paul Biden accomplishments. He tweeted this. Highest gas prices, worst inflation, plummeting crypto prices, highest rent prices ever, created a new incomprehensible language. Let's set that aside. That was a little poke there. If you read this and voted for Biden and you still don't regret it, then you are the American problem. That's finally a younger person awakening to the realities. And more are waking up each and every day. Why? Because their prices have exploded all around them, and they don't have the money to pay for it.
His job to keep you informed. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Money Talk with Howard Eisman with Enhanced Financial Services. Securities and advisory services offered through NBC Securities, Inc. Member FINRA and SIPC. NBC Securities, Inc. is a wholly owned subsidiary of RBC Bank USA. The opinions expressed are not those of NBC Securities, Inc. or iHeartMedia. On appropriate matters, seek professional tax and or legal advice.
Because it's all about the money.
Aha! And indeed it is all about the money. Howard Eisman joins me. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good, Preston. And yourself?
Doing fine. You know, there was something in a note that you sent with the numbers we're going to talk about here. Mm-hmm. And you noted here that consumer confidence has fallen to below where it was in March, early spring of 2020,
mm-hmm.
And it hasn't been that low since 2011, 2012. And I just want to remind everybody to buttress the point I was just making. That's when Barack Obama was president of the United States. I just wanted yes. to point that out.
10 years ago. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Revolving debt in the United States is an interesting indicator of where we are, what people are thinking and doing or having to do. What do the numbers say?
Well, the revolving debt, let's call it credit card consumer debt, shows that consumers are spending a lot of money and putting it on the credit card because the number is $124 billion has been added to consumer debt in the last 12 months, Preston.
That would indicate to me that people, they're buying things they need, not necessarily want, and having to pay with their credit card to get them.
Yes, or it could be a combination of the two.
Okay.
But that amount of consumer debt reached over $1 trillion now. It's just barely short of the all-time record that occurred at the end of 2019 when our economy, of course, was very, very strong. So it's the largest one-year dollar increase in consumer debt going back to 1968. That's even before the Obama regime.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I'm constantly scratching my head about the numbers of jobs that are sitting there open.
Yeah, it's a big number. It's almost twice the number. When you look at job openings, it's about 11.4 million jobs that are still looking for workers. And that's almost twice the 5.94 million Americans that are currently jobless, but could be eligible to work.
Hence the number of signs still hanging in doorways saying help wanted.
Yes, yes, exactly right, exactly right.
Just at the end of last month, the 10-year budget got released. What did it say?
Well, it says more of what you and I have been talking about now for decades. The Consumer Budget Office released their 10-year budget and forecast. And in it, they project from fiscal year 2023 to the end of 2032 that the federal government, the Treasury, will collect about $56.5 trillion in tax receipts. However, the federal government will spend, their estimate, $72.2 trillion. And Preston, that leaves a $15.7 trillion deficit. And you add that on top of the current deficit, national debt, which is over $30 trillion. You add that up, you come up with $45 trillion. And sadly, Preston, if history repeats itself, the likelihood is the debt and the deficits are going to be even greater than that.
Why Doesn't that alarm anybody?
It does. It's alarmed you and I for quite some time.
People that matter, though, people that make policy.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good question. You know, my guess is that it's easier to simply kick the can down the road and let the next Congress or the next, you know, leadership group figure it out. There's some tough issues. You and I have talked about it that continue to get kicked down the road, like Social Security, for instance.
Boy, no kidding. We could take a day to talk about that alone. Howard, as always, thanks for the time. We'll talk again in a couple weeks.
Look forward to it, Preston. Have a great day.
Thank you, sir. Howard Eisman with us this morning on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. On the radio program, Charlie Strickland scheduled to join us, our personal defense segment. No shortage of stories, more and more examples of people stopping shootings with guns, despite what Democrats keep telling you, keep saying. It's just willful ignorance is so annoying to me. It just... ignorance, like you've never been through a car wash and you don't know what to do and you accidentally have your foot on the brake. Okay, that's one thing. Willful, doing it anyway, is a whole other story when you know better and you're just trying to be annoying. And so we'll talk about, you know, personal defense, the different considerations. Guy tried to break into a school just this last couple days. His life ended. It's just, yeah. Anyway, that's tomorrow. We also have some email that I've gotten in the last couple days that I just found very interesting for a lot of different reasons on different topics. So we'll share some of that stuff as well. This is just a you've got to be kidding me incident that is a note to all of you who have a dog that's large at home. And you leave your dog at home during the day like a lot of people do, and you don't think about this kind of thing. Like, it falls under the category of what are the odds? Because some pot pan was left on a stove when the German Shepherd accidentally turned on the appliance.
Oh, no.
What was left over in the pan was grease, and it just kept heating and getting hotter and hotter, and a grease fire blew up and basically took the house down, all but. Significant damage. Dogs got rescued, two dogs in the house. But the video shows the dog accidentally turning. He's smelling the grease, and he's leaning up trying to get the grease, and his paws turn on the oven, the stove, the range. And
why would you leave that out to begin with?
Well, you're cooking, and you dish it, and you don't think about it. You put it on there, and you got to go to work. I get it. I get how it happens. I'm just saying, take that pan and put it in the sink. You know, if you're the kind that feeds your dogs that stuff, even though you shouldn't, put it on the ground. Make it easy. But just be aware that stuff happens. And thankfully, it's only the loss of part of the home or, you know, fire damage, and everyone's fine. There was no one at home at the time, but still, just something to learn.
Brought to you by Barino Heating and Air. It's The Morning Show 180 on WFLA.
All right, the economy is a train wreck. It's because Joe Biden and Democrats are running the economy. It just is what it is. There's no other explanation needed. These are all self-inflicted wounds to our economy. There would be minimal disruption if we had kept correct economic policies in place. And it goes far beyond. We're not even close to done. Trainwreck ratings for the January 6th committee made-for-TV event came in. On CBS, a rerun of Young Sheldon the week before did better. So much for Jim Crow 2.0 in Georgia. Record voting turnout. Early voting participation up 150%. Early voting among black voters higher than ever. And about that Stacey Abrams prediction, yeah, she was basically a liar on that too. All right, we'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Have an awesome day.